You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Wednesday Warfare and Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And this week, joining me from the phone, because he's fleeing this butt-whooping that I've got to give him, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how's it going up in the great white north?
Eddie, it is going very well. And it's not white yet, but it is cold, Eddie. It was. I'm in Vancouver, so right above Washington, Washington State. It is very beautiful here. But I'm sad I'm not here. And I told the people last week that I was not going to be there. But, you know, I did beat you last week in our picks, and so I wanted to make sure that I showed myself this week. But you're right. I do have a slap to the chest, a chop, so to speak, coming from you my way. So,
oh, man, I'm doing extra push-ups, too. For me. I'm doing push-ups and curls. Well. One arm. Just one arm curls. Just getting ready for it.
Good. Eddie, it's great. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. You can find us both at Fight Night ATX. Eddie, it's a... what a weekend. What a weekend in combat sports.
Oh, man. There was so much happening.
You've got, you know, Bellator with Brian Bader retaining his light heavyweight title. You had Deontay Wilder. Did you watch that fight?
Yeah. It was pretty quick. It was pretty easy to watch.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So he defended his heavyweight belt. He had a first-round KO.
Yeah, against the guy that he took it from in the first place.
Yeah, that's who he beat in the first place. And this is what's interesting, Eddie, is that in his first fight with him, he actually went to a decision.
Yeah.
And now he KO'd him in the first round. He's now 39-0, and he's defeated. He's actually KO'd all 38 of his opponents.
You know, I think calling it a knockout does it a disservice.
I mean, it was brutal.
I mean, he waxed that guy's hide.
Yeah,
I wanted to call the ambulance on him. That's illegal in, like, someone said it's illegal in 48 states. I'm like 48 states in Puerto Rico.
To knock someone down three times in one round, in the first round, and KO them, I mean, that just shows. But you know, this wasn't his first opponent for this fight. His opponent was pulled out for failing a drug test.
Right.
And then he took this, Steven, I think it was, he took this fight on short notice. But, man. But, Eddie, the only thing that matters now for Deontay Wilder, and he called him out after the fight, is a fight against Anthony Joshua. If you're not doing that fight next, you know, you're missing the boat.
You got that right.
Do we actually think, though, that Anthony Joshua will get out of England and come fight Deontay Wilder?
That is my big question. Because, you know, it'll be easier to get Wilder out of Alabama, because that's where he's had most of his title defenses.
Sure.
So he had this last one in, was it Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
This is the kind of card that, I hate to like sound like a bandwagon jumper, but this is the Madison Square Garden card. This has to be MSG.
Well, you know, heavyweights excite people, and you have two powerful heavyweights. So a Joshua Wilder fight, I think I would love to see that.
Yeah, and as big as he is in England, England is small. A fight like this, if you want the big bucks, you got to get America excited. And that's why you have it over here. It'll all come down to the dollars. Yeah.
All right, so one other fight before we get to UFC 217. Greg Hardy. He was victorious in his first amateur fight.
Yeah, I knew you were going there with this one. And, yeah, it wasn't even close. 32 seconds. I mean, the other guy just looked like an old tough man competitor. Just a fat kind of blob.
So how about AJ Green? Do we get an AJ Green-Greg Hardy fight next?
let's try not to.
I mean, could you see those fights in the NFL this weekend?
Yeah, man, I think they were inspired by George St. Pierre.
Well, yeah, George St. Pierre coming back. So, wait, let's talk about UFC 217, a fight card that delivered. We knew that there was a lot of buzz around this fight card, the return of George St. Pierre, three title fights, the fight that we were all waiting for, TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt.
Oh, yeah.
We had TJ on the show last week. This was a fight card that actually, at the end of the day, it delivered. For the first time, we have three title fights where three titles change hands. That's never happened before.
And on the whole card, you know, only two decisions.
Two of them were underdogs, especially in the title fight. Yeah, you have that decision fight with Stephen Thompson versus Jorge Masvidal,
uh-huh.
Which I kind of saw that fight going that way. I figured that Masvidal had bitten off a little bit more than he could chew.
Right.
And then the Randy Brown Mickey Gall fight, which Mickey Gall, you know, doesn't get it done.
And that one was a bloody mess, so it's still pretty entertaining.
So, what do you think about Paulo Costa? You know, Borachinha, you know, that guy, think about, like, what he looked like compared to George St. Pierre, Michael Bisping. That guy is huge.
Oh, man. And even as a guy, I hate to say it, he's a good-looking dude. WME must be, like, licking their chops to make this guy a star.
I mean, you think about that in the Brazilian market. You know, he might be the next big Brazilian thing.
Yeah, and he even struck some poses at the end of the fight.
I saw that. He did. He did like little modeling careers. That's what he's looking for. He's been going back and forth with Derek Brunson next. That'd be a good fight, though. I'd like to see that one.
That would be a good one. Now, are we overhyping him based on how Johnny Hendricks has looked lately?
You know, maybe. Let's just see him get some fights in the division, though, and let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, Derek Brunson, he doesn't want it. Derek Brunson obviously wants to fight up. He doesn't want to fight down against someone like Paulo Costa.
Right.
Costa, you think that Paulo Costa would probably be ranked after this week. But we'll see. I don't think that Derek Brunson fights. I think you bring this guy along slowly. Derek Brunson, he wants to fight Weidman, Rockhold, you know, Romero, somebody that's ranked ahead of him.
Yeah. So I think he deserves it.
So, all right, well, let's talk about these fights. So, Rose Namajunas defeats Joanna Jędrzejczyk. First round TKO.
Now, was it a TKO or did she tap?
Well, so I guess, yeah, you're right. They did call it a TKO and then a stoppage due to tap.
I think the referee jumped in right before she tapped. That's what I think happened.
So no, we didn't see this coming.
No.
And we really didn't think that Joanna would lose until we started watching some of her antics during fight week.
Right. Like, I had an idea.
A lot of people compared her to Ronda Rousey that week that led up to that Holly Holm fight.
Right.
Where she was just getting overly cocky and overly trying to get in the face of Holly Holm. And Rose Namajunas, she was not having any of this, reciting the Lord's Prayer to her during the ceremonial weigh-ins.
Yeah, reciting the Lord's Prayer with, like, a serial killer death stare, like, just dead inside. That is a mix that is scary.
You know, before the fight, I was sitting next to you, and I leaned over, and I said, you know, I wouldn't be disappointed if Joanna lost this fight. It kind of brought her back down to earth a little bit. I think she's getting a little too big for herself right now, and that's what I saw. After the fight, she came in, she said, don't compare me to Ronda Rousey, that I'm not her, I'm different. I'm going to handle this a loss differently. And she said that she wasn't out of her element, that she wasn't trying too hard to get in the mind of Rose Namajunas. But I also thought that she went a little bit too far in the pre-fight buildup, talking about mental illness. And I know you mentioned that, hey, just she wasn't mentally tough enough. Huh, she was proved wrong. Rose was mentally tough enough.
Oh, yeah.
Rose was prepared.
Yeah, Rose has like a history of like getting into her own head before fights. And she's told us this. That's how we know. So, you know, she has a history of, like, kind of fighting off her own demons before the fight. So it seems like Joanna was really, really trying to get in there and plant those seeds of doubt before the fight. But Rose has come a long way, and it did not work. If you looked at her face as they were doing the introductions, it looked like it was still there. But once that bell rang, all gone.
Yeah, I agree. And what I really want to do, Eddie, is focus on what do we do next with these fighters and these winners. And I think before we came into the fight, we thought that if anyone would get an immediate rematch, it would be Joanna Jędrzejczyk. But the fight, I mean, it was pretty dominant. Rose beat her in the first round, TKO'd her, and then, you know, got her to tap.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think an immediate rematch is up for Joanna Jędrzejczyk? She, you know, 6 title defenses, I believe it was, going to break the record. What do you think?
Well, the immediate rematches are usually reserved for dominant champions. And if Joanna
Jose Aldo, but everyone else.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a whole different story. But I say usually reserved for dominant champions. Yeah, and if Joanna wasn't the epitome of a dominant champion, I don't know who is. You know, she's held that division hostage for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, no, so she had 5 title defenses. And you've got to think that, well, you can look at the division. You know, she just defeated Jessica Andrade and then right. Carolina Kovalkiewicz before that.
And Claudia Gadelha.
Women, well, yeah, both of them, they just won. Andrade beat Claudia Gadelha. And then Carolina Kovalkiewicz I think she beat Jodi Escovill back a few weeks ago. And the thing is, though, they both called each other out. I don't think either of them thought that there was a chance that Rose was going to win this fight, and they knew that they weren't going to get a title shot against Joanna. So they called each other out.
Yeah, and that's when you start deleting tweets.
What's that?
That's when you start deleting tweets. Like, no.
Then you have Claudia Gadelha, who just lost, so she's not getting the title fight.
Right.
And then Tisha Torres is fighting Michelle Waterson at UFC 218. So you look at kind of the top five, you would think that they're tied up. So it wouldn't surprise me if an immediate rematch was kind of requested. But, well, you know, you never know.
Right. And remember back coming off The Ultimate Fighter, Dana White called Rose the next Ronda Rousey. So he had a lot of hopes
for
her.
They've been high on her.
Yeah. And she's finally realizing that. Apparently that the style that she fights with takes a long time to master, I hear. So, and I'd say she's mastered it.
I agree. All right, so let's jump into the co-main event, the fight that we were most looking forward to, TJ Dillashaw, Cody Garbrandt.
Oh, man.
This fight, I mean, we expected fireworks.
It did not disappoint.
Fireworks. If we had 20 seconds more in that first round, we might have had, you know, and still, Cody Garbrandt as the UFC Bantamweight champion.
I think even less. Give him 10 more seconds. That thing was over.
TJ Dillashaw, he was able to, he says that when he went down, he obviously, you know, he doesn't remember much, but he remembers going for the single leg and he was able to recover. And you saw him start to recover a little bit. But you don't know, had the ref not pulled Cody Garbrandt off, what a change. So
right.
You don't know, it's not a guaranteed victory for Garbrandt, but it was definitely looking that way. He is saved by the bell. He moves on to that next round. He comes out in that second round, and that's when things start changing. And he caught Garbrandt. I think he caught him with it. Was it a short left or a short right that caught him before Garbrandt's punch landed?
I think it was a right.
Okay. So he catches that right before his and just puts him out. Puts him on his back and then finishes the fight. A great stoppage. No problem with that.
And let's not forget that before that, Dillashaw landed a left high kick. And I'm not sure Garbrandt ever really recovered from it.
Yeah, no, that he did. It was, in the end, it ended up being, you know, too much for Cody Garbrandt to get over both of those. But, man, that was a great fight.
Yeah, and it's funny, I noticed how after Garbrandt got floored the second time by the punch, as he's trying to get back to his feet, somehow he accidentally hooks Dillashaw's leg. So instead of being able to scramble back, using his arms to push himself up, he ends up pulling Dillashaw in closer to him and not being able to get his balance off the ground. And that just helped Dillashaw put an end to it.
Yeah. So now TJ Dillashaw, he's one of only a few fighters who have been a multiple-time champion in their own division. Randy Couture, John Jones, Tim Sylvia, Cain Velasquez. Although I wonder if you can count John Jones because the second time it was you know, overturned. So he's probably off the list.
Well,
Matt Hughes, Jose Pierre, Jose Alba, Dominic Cruz, those guys have all won the belt twice. And you think that's a common thing. A lot of fighters do that. That's not a very big group.
It's not, no.
Dillashaw is in kind of an elite group now.
Because if you look at some of the champions that we've had recently, after they lose the belt, it's just a quick downhill slide. Like, look at Johnny Hendricks, for example. He hasn't been the same. He's been far from it.
No, I agree. So let's talk about what's next for TJ Dillashaw. We've got to think that Cody Garbrandt not going to get a title shot. You think about that fight that TJ Dillashaw had against Dominic Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted that rematch so bad. He offered his own money up. That was a fight that a lot of people saw going TJ Dillashaw's way.
There's
no way Cody Garbrandt, in such a dominant fashion, lost that fight. He's not getting an immediate rematch. You would think that Dominic Cruz or the winner of the Dominic Cruz-Jimmy Rivera fight at UFC 219 would get the next crack at the bantamweight title. But TJ Dillashaw is talking about going to 125 pounds and fighting Demetrius Johnson. He's down. The UFC is down. Is that the fight that you want to see?
I mean, I definitely watch it, but I don't think it should happen just yet. You know, we talk about, you know, champions deserving something, and he just won the belt. I mean, he's got top contenders waiting in the wings. But he wants to drop down already. We complain about Conor McGregor doing the same thing, but then we just want to let TJ Dillashaw do it because, what, people are tired of Mighty Mouse beating up people? It's kind of unfair.
This drives me absolutely crazy. And you and I debated this last week talking about this.
And we kind of agree, so it's weird.
Yeah. What if Demetrius Johnson went up and he was the next title defender, the title contender at bantamweight?
It's not something I really want to see happen. But, I mean, everyone's talking about it cementing his legacy. But then they're talking about, oh, maybe TJ is coming down. And something like that, DJ's always said, you know, he's a 125er. Someone wants to fight him at 125, he's down for it. I think it's going up in weight that makes a difference to him.
Yeah, if anyone should move, again, I'm going to say this. I said it last week. I've been saying this all week. If anyone is moving, it should be Demetrius Johnson. You're right, though. TJ Dillashaw, he has some contenders in Dominic Cruz. I know he wants that Dominic Cruz fight back. Jimmy Rivera, they're fighting. You would think the winner's going to get that title shot. That's pretty clear cut. The winner of that fight should fight TJ Dillashaw next, unless Demetrius Johnson wants it. And if he does, give it to him. If he doesn't, let's stop with this nonsense of Demetrius Johnson versus TJ Dillashaw at 125.
Yeah, and I don't know why people get so up in arms about seeing greatness. I mean, just because DJ, you know, owns his division, that's something you want to witness. You want to see greatness. That's why we watch this sport. We don't just watch it for the blood. Well, okay, me and you don't just watch it for the blood. I watch it to see people perform at a high level.
Demetrius Johnson moving up a round, or moving up a division, and winning a second belt, you know, that does do something for his legacy.
It does, but it's not something I feel like he has to do, like a lot of people.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. The main event. George St. Pierre.
Oh, man.
Defeats Michael Bisping. Third round submission. In a fight that we definitely saw George St. Pierre win that first round. I think it was the second round that he took Michael Bisping down. He went 3-for-3 on takedowns. No problem taking him down. But he's on top of Michael Bisping, but just taking a beating, you know, from on top.
Yeah, just a problem holding him down.
Yeah. You could see that George St. Pierre, though, was getting very tired, especially in that second round. And the odds really changed. It was a clear kind of the odds makers had in the fight. George St. Pierre winning after round one, after round two. Mm-hmm. The odds flipped, and Michael Bisping had become the favorite. What was really impressive is that George St. Pierre, who we'd all say doesn't have that finishing power, he hits Michael Bisping, knocks him down, tries to go for the finish, then he goes and turns around and gets the submission. So it wasn't like he just was on the ground and caught him.
Right.
Knocks him down and then submits him. A brilliant performance by George St. Pierre. And now he's one of the only few people to hold a belt in two different weight classes now. BJ Penn, Conor McGregor, Randy Couture, and I think it's George St. Pierre in UFC history.
And you know, the funny thing is the way he won is kind of the reason I picked him. Something you had mentioned before about him training so much with jiu-jitsu guys for this camp. And then, of course, Michael Bisping and his bad right eye. St. Pierre literally lands a left hook right in Bisping's eye and knocks him down. And then as he's going for ground and pound, kind of lays a trap. And Bisping falls right into it and he gets the rear naked choke. But I'm going to be that guy this week. And I'm going to have to kind of poo-poo this whole deal. And yes, it's great history. It's fun to watch. But George St. Pierre really kind of picked his spot here. He waited till there was a beatable middleweight champion. Then he jumps in.
Always a beatable middleweight champion. I just asked Chris Weidman. He beat him twice.
Well, hey, St. Pierre wasn't in a hurry to jump up to face Anderson Silva.
That's true.
So he waits till there's someone that he deems pretty flawed. And then he jumps in. If Luke Rockhold was still the champ, do you think we would have seen George St. Pierre?
Probably not. You're probably right. You probably would not. So,
yeah.
You know, Freddie Roach, he wants George St. Pierre to go back down to welterweight. We know that Dana White is adamant that he's going to fight the interim champion, Robert Whittaker.
Sure, Dana.
What do you think happens next for GSP?
I will say it right here, right now. GSP, Conor McGregor, International Fight Week.
You think that's the next fight? What weight is that at?
170.
Do you think George can get back down to 170 that quickly? You look at he looks very strong. He has that kind of that muscly pot belly. I don't know if he can healthy, you know, effectively get back down to 170 that quickly. I mean,
well, he doesn't. He's got
a lot of muscle for this.
Well, he's got like 7 months.
Yeah.
You know, so, like you said, he had a kind of a pot belly. So we can already see that there's room to go down. And he had to force feed himself to get up there to where he had a short, a small weight cut to hit 185. So yeah, I think he can do it.
So I agree.
Oh, and that's if he doesn't retire.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility too. But I agree with you that he is not going to fight Robert Whittaker next.
No.
Now, we know that it's in the contract that he said that, hey, if I win, he's going to fight Robert Whittaker. And I know Dana White has been pushing that. Vacate the title, and he can move on. If he does fight Robert Whittaker, which the UFC, I guess they want to happen, the UFC is going to Perth, Australia in February. There is not a chance Conor McGregor is fighting in Perth, Australia. The only way...
You mean George St. Pierre.
You're right, that George St. Pierre. The only way that George St. Pierre is not fighting in Canada is if he's fighting against Conor McGregor.
I completely agree.
So you would think that I think George could go back down to 170. That wouldn't be surprising if he goes and fights Tyron Woodley, which then sets up, and I think you do Conor versus Tony, you do George versus Tyron. You hope that both of those guys come out as winners. And then you do set that up for George St. Pierre, Conor McGregor at 170 for the 170 title at International Fight
League. No, I think that's a few too many variables. I'm saying right now, if George St. Pierre doesn't retire, he is fighting Conor McGregor next. And he will wait. They will wait until after that bout to vacate the title, just so there's the poster with both the belts on it. But if he doesn't retire, it's
Conor
McGregor.
Fight Tony Ferguson before that.
Now that there's a chance to fight GSP. So if GSP's in, Conor's in.
Three openings. Now he could fight Tony Ferguson, he could fight Nate Diaz, and he could fight George St. Pierre.
And tell me which one of those makes him the most money.
But I think if you're Conor, I think you think that you can make all of those fights.
But which one?
You can fight Tony Ferguson and George St. Pierre.
Yeah, but which opponent?
Nate Diaz, you can fight that anytime.
Which opponent brings in the most money?
Oh, no, George St. Pierre.
Right. And St. Pierre either rides off on his high horse right now, or he takes this one huge mega fight. And it's literally the biggest fight that you can have in MMA right now.
George St. Pierre came back for big fights, big, you know, purses. Robert Whittaker is not in that mix. You could see Tyron Woodley, but I think ultimately, yeah, Conor McGregor, George St. Pierre is the fight to make. So I don't know if it's going to be the next fight for both of them, but I do think that is the plan. And I think you could do that fight no matter what with Tony Ferguson or Tyron Woodley. I think that fight, I think there's a fight to be made. The UFC really wants Conor McGregor to fight, and they're going to try to push that to happen at UFC 219. We still don't have a main event of that card. We've talked about Holly Holm's Chris Cyborg. That's not enough to main event that card. The New Year's Eve card, I still think we can possibly get Conor versus Tony Ferguson on that card.
Yeah, I think if Conor hasn't agreed to it by now, it's not going to happen this year.
Well, remember how early the Mayweather-McGregor fight got announced finally, you know, was either 6 weeks to go. So I don't think we have to wait just yet. So one fight before we go, James Vick, Joseph Duffy. James Vick, he wins with 1 second left in the second round.
Oh, yeah.
But the most important thing is the UFC announced that they're coming to Austin, Eddie.
That's right.
Up on our Facebook. February 18th, Sunday, Frank Irwin Center. James Vick, he wins. And then he says he wants to fight in the main event at this UFC Austin card. So I know you're excited to have the UFC back in Austin.
Oh, yeah, and he wants the winner of this weekend's Poirier-Pettis fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I don't know if that's the exact headliner that we're thinking of, but I would definitely like to see James Vick on the card.
Definitely, and I'm certain he'll be here now.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
All right, Jordan, you go eat yourself some ketchup-flavored potato chips, and coming into the studio for me to discuss fantasy MMA, the host of 104.9 The Horn's own Wagner Wire, Mr. Adam Wagner, will be coming in to tell us how fantasy MMA works. He'll help you figure out the point system, and he'll help you figure out how to take your picks, put them into this system, and get the bang for your buck. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. We'll be right back.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what voodoo, what up with that? What up with that?
Welcome back to Fight Night here on 104.9 The Horn. Sitting across from me this time is the host of The Wagner Wire here on 104.9 The Horn, Mr. Adam Wagner. Wags, before we get going, tell the folks where to find you and when they can hear you.
You can find me on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. You can find my show at The Wagner Wire. That's pretty simple, right? At The Wagner Wire.
That's
and then
pretty simple.
I got one that's pretty a little complex. It's the bigger Twitter world out there. It's The_Wagner_Wire. That's for like the news and everything like that. That's stuff that pretty much pertains to all the fantasy world, not just to the show. So I have three Twitter handles. I know it's difficult.
You are hard to keep up with.
It is definitely hard. I can't even keep up with myself.
You're a poor wife.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that. And then you can also go to the website at thewagnerwire.com.
All right. And they can hear you Tuesday nights.
Right, Tuesday nights, 8:30 to 9, right after the game plan with Craig Way and Bucky Gobbled.
Right.
And then Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Time. Obviously.
Yeah, you get your fantasy questions answered.
Absolutely.
Live on the air.
Get it live on the air. You can also, you know, that's what that Twitter platform
I've used
is
it a
for.
Few times.
You have, yes, you have. And hopefully we've brought some good results to you.
Yeah. So last week, leading up to UFC 217, the UFC was kind of, they're really pushing DraftKings. And I'm looking at this and going, I have no idea how to play fantasy MMA. So tell us, how does one play fantasy MMA?
You approach it, okay, you go into the K, right? Everybody has a lottery card. Maybe people play lottery, maybe they don't. You know, I don't play lottery.
Okay.
To me, this is, I guess you could say it's kind of like my lottery, but this is more of a calculated risk, because, I mean, obviously, any type of money that you're putting into and not getting a guarantee back
is somewhat of a risk or a gamble.
But you're narrowing down and eliminating the margin of error, so to speak. I mean, you have something that you can bet on. You know, instead of some, like a blind eye, now you have something that you can put you have numbers or an algorithm that you can put something towards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have with DraftKings.
Okay.
So say, like, you got a fighter, right, that goes in the first round, if you get knocked down in the first round or knockout in the first round, that's 90 points. That's a 90-point victory.
Okay.
All right? So, and we've always heard this thing throughout MMA, everybody's got a puncher's chance.
Right.
So, and how you play this on DraftKings is you pick, a certain amount of fighters, mm-hmm. and then you have to budget based off of a salary cap that DraftKings provides for you. And then you select those certain fighters that fits into your lineup and roster, and then play it against the next person that, you know, they do the same thing. You and I can both select the same type of lineups. We don't know that going into the contest,
right, okay.
But we'll see it as it pays out towards the end.
So looking back at UFC 217, for George St. Pierre getting a third round submission, how many points would that have been?
For George St. Pierre getting a third round submission, let's see, he went to two rounds. And then he got the submission. How many takedowns did he have, too? Because you get 5 points points for takedowns.
Yeah, he had three takedowns.
Oh, and how many advances did he have? Because you get 3 points for advances.
Oh, Lord.
We get really technical into this. I mean,
that is hard to
judge. I'm telling you, really have. I mean, that's why I was chomping. You saw me taking when we were at the bar at
third base. Yeah.
Watching that. And by the way, big shout out to Sean Doss and the staff there at third base, man. They did a tremendous job, got us the wristbands, didn't have to pay the cover. Thank you very much. They look out for the horn.
Oh, yeah, thanks, guys.
We like to look out for them, too. But, yeah, so you get significant strikes, you get a half a point. That's kind of like a reception, you know, in NFL, right?
That's, okay.
So you want to make sure you take that into account. And then for advances, I mentioned +3. Takedowns, +5. Reversals or sweeps, that's another +5 right there. And then knockdowns, that's 10 points. A first-round win, 90 points. Second-round win, 70 points. Third round win, 40 points. Fifth round win, 40 points. And then decision is the 30 points.
Well, this is hard to keep up with.
It is. That's why you need a guru like me, my man.
Is this all updated live?
It is updated live. It might have a little bit of maybe 5 to 10 minute delay, depending on how much gets there.
Okay.
But also, you know, you got to take into account that this is the type of stuff that you're going to be sitting there chomping at the bit while you're watching it. So, yeah, everybody has some type of interest and wanting to watch the fight, but now that you have money on it and you're counting every strike, now this is making you a professional. This is making you a guru or a technical sound genius when it comes to watching MMA, because you have to keep up with it too. Because hey man, I better not get gypped on my stats. You know, not that you could keep up with it, because
If you think anyone's a genius picking MMA,
we know this.
Sometimes me and Jordan go like a month straight beating each other because no one has any idea what's gonna happen. Let me tell you, the odds on GSP getting a submission Saturday night, it was like 1,500 to 1.
He looked good. How good was that for GSP to be back in the sport? Awesome. It was electrifying. I mean, I had to bail a little bit early to go pick up some people, but I'll save the embarrassment for that. But it was just great to see GSP back in the octagon. It's just tremendous. He just brings so much energy into the sport. And phenomenal shape. I mean, to come back and be able to beat Bisping. He can strike.
Yeah, and they may have cracked a million pay-per-view buys, like I told Jordan, because Canada is behind him. Official Canadian Twitter handle.
Got behind GSP?
Yeah. So looking up to Saturday, UFC Norfolk. We've got a great card coming up. Poirier, Pettis, Matt Brown, Diego Sanchez.
Well, before we get started, can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
What was your favorite fight of 217? What was your fight of the night?
My fight of the night? Well, the best fight of the night had to have been GSP Bisping. It would have been Garbrandt Dillashaw, but it ended too soon. I really wanted that one to go like 4 or 5 rounds.
I can't stand Dillashaw. We got onto it. All right, yeah, enough of that. I didn't want to take us off the course from this week.
It's okay.
But I just wanted to find out who you're fighting.
That's quite all right. So looking forward to UFC Norfolk, Andrei Arlovski, Junior Albini, Nate Marquardt, Cesar Ferreira, Joe Lozon, Clay Guida, that's a good one. John Dotson, Marlon Moraes. Give us who you're picking in your DraftKings. If you were to do a DraftKings, how would you set it up?
This is paid information that you're asking me for here, Eddie Cross. Whoa. But I'll do. It's first time on the show. Hopefully I get to come back on Fight Night again. You know, this is great. I love being here with you, Jordan, and all the crew, whoever's listening, wherever they're at Austin or wherever you're tuning in from. If you're listening to the app, it could be anywhere that you have internet access. I'll give you the free card. It's a free card that I'm taking. And this is just a guess, all right? I don't have all my lineups and algorithms set and still. Hit me back up before the match goes, and I'll give you a better card. I'll give you a more narrowed down card. But I'm going to go with the few fighters that I have. Albini, all right? He'll cost you $8,900 on DraftKings. Brown, it's his retirement fight that we've been mentioning. He's going up against, a beaten down. Yeah, that's all I remember is that guy getting pounded.
Diego Sanchez,
And so he's going up against Sanchez. I like Dotson as well. Lozon going up against Guida, Nate the Great, and then Poirier.
So how much did all those guys cost you altogether?
So altogether, man, the cap, I can't do all that adding up right there.
So what's the cap?
The cap is, let's see, $50,000. So out of $50,000... you got to fit all those fighters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fighters in there. Out of $50,000.
So on a bigger card, you think the cap would be higher, or would it just be harder to get to?
It just depends on what DraftKings sets as their as the value for the fighter. So it just depends on the card.
Maybe on a bigger card, there'd be better fighters, more expensive fighters.
100%. Each fighter would have a different value. Yeah. Take the analogy. Look at LeBron James. Say you have a GSP and LeBron James. Obviously, GSP is probably going to be one of the higher fighters out there.
Right.
LeBron James is obviously one of the highest players out there as well.
Right.
So depending on type of caliber of the fighter, the value goes up on the DraftKings.
Okay. Man, this is...
It's complex.
It's complex.
And you know what? You can also go to DFSArmy.com because they have an awesome guru, Kevin Allen, the geek. He's in the MMA. He does football and he does MMA. So you got to check that out, DFSArmy.com.
Right. Well, thanks again, Adam. Tell us again where to find you.
You can
find me at WagnerWire.
TheWagnerWire.com. That's my website. You can find me on Twitter, not the fake Wags. Also, The Wagner Wire, that's the show's Twitter handle. And then The_Wagner_Wire News. I know that's a mouthful.
All right. Well, stick around, folks. We'll get Jordan back on the phone. I think he's done with his ketchup-flavored chips. And we'll see what his picks are for
the
weekend.
Give me the dill pickle. All right. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, man. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. All right. Saturday, UFC Norfolk, coming to you from, Norfolk, Virginia. Jordan, how excited are you for this one?
So, Eddie, a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the fights that I was looking forward to towards the end of the year, I mentioned, you know, the fight I was most looking forward to was UFC 218. You mentioned UFC 217. But I said that there was a close contender that wasn't getting as much credit as it should, especially because it's just a fight night card.
Right.
But it was this fight, this Norfolk card.
Yeah, and coming between pay-per-views, yeah.
Dustin Poirier fighting Anthony Pettis. Dustin Poirier, who believes that he was beating Eddie Alvarez when that fight was stopped for the illegal knee.
I've got to agree with him.
Anthony Pettis, former champion. Matt Brown in his retirement fight versus Diego Sanchez, who probably should have retired a while ago. You've got Andre Arlovsky versus Junior Albini. Nate Marquardt is fighting. So you've got name value. Rafael Assuncao, Joe Lozon versus Clay Guida. That should be a good fight to kick off the main card of Fox Sports 1. But even if you go to the prelims, also on Fox Sports 1, not a delineation between the two cards, but you've got John Dodson versus former World Series of Fighting champion Marlon Moraes.
That's big.
That is a great fight. I'm very much looking forward to that. Sage Northcutt is fighting, which, you know me, I always like Super Sage Northcutt.
Oh, I do.
You've got Angela Hill fighting Nina Ansaroff.
That's good.
And then even on the prelim card on UFC Fight Pass, former Ultimate Fighter winner Court McGee is fighting Shane Strickland. Sean Strickland. So, I mean, it's not a bad card. This should be a fun night of fights and definitely something worth watching.
Oh, this whole thing is going to be good. And believe me, as soon as I get out of the Texas-Kansas game, I'm going to be right in front of my couch. Well, on my couch in front of my TV.
Well, you would think that this Kansas game is going to be a, you know.
Don't say it. Don't say it. What did I say? Don't say it.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think it's going to be.
Just for that, I'm going to hit you harder.
A win. Maybe you can even edit this one out one day, okay?
Yeah. Just for that, I'm going to be inspired by the Ric Flair 30 for 30, and I'm going to chop you even harder.
There you go. Yeah. Did you watch that last night?
It's on my DVR.
It was fantastic. Okay. Yeah, it's fantastic. So this should be a just jump out of that game a little bit early and go watch these fights. Eddie, what fight are you most looking forward to on this card? This is one of the fights of the year that I was looking forward to, Dustin Poirier versus Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, I'm going to say besides Poirier-Pettis, I'm really looking forward to the Dodson-Moraes fight. That is going to be so fast. So much speed between those two guys. And John Dodson, you just got to love the guy, right? He's like the MMA version of Jose Altuve. You just want to pick him up and put him in your pocket.
Yeah, Marlon Moraes, I believe his last fight was against Rafael Assuncao. That was his first fight in the UFC. It was a split decision loss.
Mm-hmm.
So against kind of the top competition, John Dodson, we know he's competed for the flyweight title a couple of times. He is no slouch.
That should be
a great fight. That's a great way to finish off the prelims, although they really just kind of blend together.
Yeah, I don't know why they call it a prelim.
Clay Guida fight?
Oh, man.
That should be a fun fight.
Definitely.
Brown versus Diego Sanchez. You think about, like, the amount of bonuses between these fights.
Oh, yeah. Matt Brown and Sanchez would be, like, at the top of my list if I weren't so afraid for Diego Sanchez.
Diego Sanchez, tons of bonuses. Joe Lozon, Clay Guida. This is, like, the bonus central card. You think about these fighters and how many bonuses they've earned before. This is crazy.
Yeah, this is one of those cards that deserves more than it's getting. You know, coming on the heels of 217, which was so awesome. You know, then you just kind of throw this one in there like, oh, by the way. I mean, this one should have been getting so much more press than it has.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when you have so many UFC events in such a little time, you really can't promote it the way it probably should be promoted.
Right.
But I agree. This is a fun fight. This is a great card.
Now, Jordan, before we get around to making picks, I just want to squeeze these in there. Friday night, coming to you from Dublin, Ireland, Bellator 187. How much do you care about that on a scale of 1 to 5?
I was looking at this fight card, Eddie. So this is AJ McKee versus Brian Moore,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right. You care about AJ McKee, right?
I don't. Sinead Kavanaugh versus Maria Casanova, Paul Redmond. So there is one Wikipedia page in the entire card. Just want you to know.
And that would be McKee.
AJ McKee has the only the Wikipedia page on
well,
there.
Well, if
so
you're not doing anything on Friday night, you know, you just want to watch some guys throw down.
No,
tune
I'm
going to
go watch Thor Ragnarok this Friday night. So I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
that's what I'm going to do.
They'll be throwing down too. And by the way,
a much better fight.
And by the way, don't forget Saturday night, 10:30 Central on NBCSN. Copa Combate from Combate Americas, the 8-man bantamweight one-night tournament. That'll be on the DVR too. It's going to be a late Saturday night for me, Jordan.
So Eddie, I was looking at, but going back to UFC Virginia, I should have been more prepared for this. But just between the main event, they've had 10 fight night bonuses themselves.
Wow.
Okay. In the main event, and then you look at like Joe Lozon. Who I think he has like, gosh, 6 submission of the night honors, 7 fight of the night honors, 1 knockout of the night, performance of the night one time. He's got the fight of the year. Clay Guida, he's got, I mean, this is on paper, fight of the night 6 times, submission of the night 3 times. This is a great fight card with some excitement. Now, granted, these all happened a while ago, especially when you hear like submission of the night and knockout of the night. We haven't had those for a long time.
Right.
But this should be fun.
It should be, and it will be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Eddie, should we make some picks?
I think we should. I got Adam's picks and at the end of round 2. But let's start with yours. And like I told you, I was adding a couple football games to it. We got some top 10 matchups this week. TCU, Oklahoma.
All right, I will go with – where's it at?
Oklahoma.
I'll go with Oklahoma.
All right, you're forgetting that they lost there to Iowa State.
It's okay. TCU also lost to Iowa State. So.
Yeah, so I am taking TCU.
Okay.
Georgia at Auburn.
Georgia at Auburn. I'll take Georgia.
I want to see them in the nation. Same here. All right, back to the UFC. We've got John Dodson versus Marlon Moraes. I am taking the magician.
Okay, I will go with Marlon Moraes.
All right. And let's see. Joe Lozon versus Clay Guida. This one was tough.
You know I got to go with Joe Lozon.
And basically I went the same way solely because it's so close, but Joe Lozon is taller. He's got the reach. Nate Marquardt versus Cesar Ferreira.
You know, I think Nate Marquardt might be a little bit past the time where I'll be picking him. I'm going to go with Cesar Ferreira.
And I have to agree with you, unfortunately. All right. Heavyweights, Andre Arlovsky versus Junior Albini.
You know, on paper, you would think that, hey, we should go with Arlovsky. He's been around longer. Albini just in his second UFC fight. He has a win over Timothy Johnson. But I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to stick with Albini. I think he gets the win, and this would be obviously a huge win for him in his career.
All right, I am sticking with the old dog and going with Arlovsky.
Okay.
In the co-main event, we've got the retirement fight of Matt Brown versus Diego the Nightmare again, Sanchez.
All right, Eddie. Well, Matt Brown, you know, after that 7-fight win streak, he's actually lost 5 of his last 6, the only win over Tim Means. But I actually think he gets it done against Diego Sanchez. This is a perfect fight for a retirement fight. You know it's going to be fireworks. Diego Sanchez has not been on that great of a, the last few fights anyways, but I think Matt Brown, he gets it done in his retirement fight.
And I have to agree with you. And that should be Matt, Diego Sanchez's retirement fight too, but unfortunately it is not.
Sure.
And we're gonna see him take more damage until he's just ready to give it up. But it'll be fun to watch, right? Now in the main event, Dustin Poirier, Dustin the Diamond, the Thug Jitsu student against Anthony Pettis. Showtime is back in the lightweight division. Jordan, where are you going?
Anthony Pettis, this is his second fight back at lightweight. He beat Jim Miller back in July. Dustin Poirier, who still believes that he beat Eddie Alvarez. I think he's up. They have both common wins in Jim Miller in the past year. I think Dustin Poirier, he gets it done. And I don't think he gets to win a fight against James Vick next. I think he gets a better fight than that. And he can be right there for title contention.
Oh, man. I am also going Poirier. So there you go, folks. Enjoy the fights and have a good weekend.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.